Good morning. Welcome to church. Before we start, a little orientation, a little understanding of where we are. If somebody came in and sat down beside you this morning and they said, please point me to the restroom, which way would you point? If somebody came in this morning and said, please point me in the direction of the nearest Tim Hortons, which way would you point? Some are pointing that way, some are pointing that way. I think that wall is parallel with the side street, and that wall is parallel with John Street. So I think the nearest Tim Hortons would be that way, along that road, right? If somebody came in and asked you, point me in the direction of your home, which way would you point? My goal is today that at the end, maybe when somebody says, which way is your home, you're pointing that way. We just sang the song, this world is not my home. What do we mean by that? Let's think about that for a few minutes this morning. And that is a relative thing. If you're in Australia and you do that, you're kind of opposite. But in a sense, you're the same because you're pointing away from this world, right? We're looking at a different place that is not within this sphere that we call the world, that we call home. We call this home, but is it? Should we be thinking in the mindset that this world is our home? And I want to look at the idea of this world is not my home from the point of view of living in another country. I know that many of you have had the experience. Who has lived in another country where you can say, I've lived in another country that's not my birthplace, it's not my home. Yeah, talk to Janet, talk to Amy, talk to Lynn. There's lots of people here who would have lots of experiences of what it's like to live in a place that's not home. And what? How do you feel if you're in the mindset that this is not your home? So today I'm going to give you some thoughts on living in another country. And some of those thoughts I will explain a very spiritual reference to. Some of them I'll let you think about that yourself. Many years ago, I lived in Mexico for 3 years. And then I lived in Asia for more than 20 years. So I have some thoughts on what it's like to live outside of your own country and how that feels. And the first thing that always comes to my mind when I think about traveling or living outside of your own country, outside of Canada for me, is your passport. When you travel, when you live abroad, you have a passport, and that passport is very important. It is the proof of your citizenship. You might get a driver's license somewhere else, but that proves that you can drive. Your passport proves your citizenship, in a sense, who you are. We have a student at Great Lakes right now. He cannot go home. He's from China, and he cannot go home. When he was coming into Canada last September, he lost his passport, or it was stolen. It was, and he took his time and didn't get on the ball to renew it or get a new one. The Chinese consulate in Toronto is stalling him. He can't go home. He's stuck in Canada for the summer. That's terrible, huh? But imagine spiritually if you lost your citizenship, if you could not go home. What that would feel like. Along with the idea of citizenship, there's the idea that citizenship is not necessarily passed on to your kids. When my kids were born in Taiwan, they were stateless. At that time, the Taiwan government, the Republic of China, it's called, they would not recognize kids born to a foreign dad. If the dad was Taiwanese, they would say, okay, that kid's Taiwanese. But if the mom is Taiwanese and the dad's foreign, they'd say, we don't know that kid. So my kids were born, they were stateless. We had to apply for citizenship and then apply for a passport for them. Perhaps had something happened, and at that time, mainland China was threatening, as they often do, threatening Taiwan, and there's some nervousness because when you live in a foreign country, you always want the opportunity, if things go wrong, you want the opportunity to go home, right? You keep your citizenship, you know your flight, you know you have a method to go home. And I ask you today, is your method clear to you? Is your citizenship clear to you and your friends and family? And are you making sure that your children or your family have that citizenship, that clarity of where and how they're going? The reading this morning from 1 Peter, we started in 1 Peter 1:17. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners. We are foreigners here. We're living out our time as though we are foreigners, as though this is not our home. When I was in Taiwan, the Taiwan government, Republic of China, they gave me a card that's my proof of identity while I'm in Taiwan. It was called an alien resident certificate. I was an alien while I was in Taiwan. All the aliens had this card, the ARC, the ARC, alien resident certificate, to prove what I was. As a foreigner and as a pilgrim, as a journeyer on this journey, we have a sense of noticing other people who are on the same journey or other foreigners who are traveling the same road as we are. When you see somebody else who you know is on that journey, you want to connect with them. You want to have some time with them. I remember when I was living in Mexico, I was living there working, and my sister came to visit. And I took a few days vacation, and we went to a beach. The city I was living in was in a desert. There was no beach. Everybody thinks about Mexico, and they think about beaches or something. But I was living in a very industrial city. So we took a few days. We went to a beach. And my sister, it was one of her first big trips out of Canada. And she gets to this beach, and she's been kind of missing connecting with other Canadians. So she walks up and down the beach whistling, "Oh, Canada." She wants to make a connection. She wants to find people that she can relate to. And when you see fellow travelers on that kind of road, you connect with them instantly. I remember one time I was on a bus. I think it was in China. It was a hot, sticky day. When I first went to China 30 years ago, I was the tallest person there. I think I've shrunk. Anyway, I was on this bus, and people were crowded around. You couldn't move, and it was hot and stinky and smelly. And I looked over all these heads of all these people, and there's another foreigner, I could tell, at the other end of the bus. And it was noisy, and we couldn't talk. We couldn't do anything. But an amazing thing happened in an instant. As I'm holding on to that railing, and we're bouncing along on this noisy bus, I looked in his eyes, and he looked in my eyes, and I knew that he knew what I was thinking. And he knew that I knew. We knew what each other was thinking, I'm sure of it. Because it just took that instant where you connect, like, ah. I mentioned Philip, if you don't know Philip, from Mexico, he's here. And I was talking to him this morning, and I said about my topic this morning, and he said, you know, when Christians travel, anywhere in the world, you can meet other Christians. And it's a beautiful thing because you can walk into a Christian's home anywhere in the world and you probably feel a little bit at home. When we lived in Taiwan, we bought a condo and we decorated it. We took care of it, of course. And people would come into our home and they'd look around and they'd say, a foreigner lives here. They could tell just by looking around our home, they could say, a foreigner lives here. But it was always my goal that when people came into our home, they would be able to say, a Christian lives here. But in Taiwan, it was very obvious to everybody, this was a foreigner's home. It's not the typical Taiwan style or whatever it was that they were looking for. So you feel when you go into a brother or brothers in Christ, sister in Christ, when you go into somebody's home, you can feel home. But where's your home? Yes, we're trying to get into the mindset that this world, what is here, is not the real home. And if you think about the real home, let's think about that for a while. Have you imagined what heaven is like? What you're going for? Why we're and Canada is a pretty comfortable place to live, but we have some infirmities. We're getting old. The world is decaying. There's pollution, there's moral pollution, corruption in this world. I remember a time when Elvis Presley came along and people said, oh my goodness. But nothing compared to what's happening on stages and on TV today, right? I'm sure a lot of you remember when people could not use the Lord's name in vain on TV. The world is going downhill in many ways. But imagine heaven for a minute. What do you imagine? What does it seem like to you? And the beautiful thing about that question is, it's better than you can imagine. It's more than you can imagine. The Bible tells us that it's beyond our beyond the ability of our imagination to guess what heaven is like. It's that wonderful. So I'll share with you my thought. I don't know what to imagine, but my thought, when we get to heaven, it's like waking up from a bad dream. You know that instant when you wake up from a bad dream and it's like, what was real? Is this real? Is that real? Am I really being chased by that thing? Am I really falling? What is reality? And then after a minute later, it's like, what was that dream about? And then a couple minutes after that, it's like, what bad dream? It's gone, right? There's a lot of people who will debate, in heaven, will you know your spouse? Will you know your kids? Will you know people that you've left behind? My wonder is, do we want to? I mean, when we get to the perfect relationship, the imperfect ones maybe will disappear, or we'll all be one in some way, but it's going to be wonderful. So this world, by very few comparison, can it be compared to what we're living for hope? Hebrews 12 starts off with therefore. And you know, when you see the word therefore, you have to ask what it's there for. Therefore, since we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. We're being entrapped and hindered in this world. Things are pulling us down, tearing at us, using up our time. As a foreigner, as a traveler in another country, you probably use your time differently than the local people. In Mexico, it's not just stereotypical. There are people who will take siestas in the afternoon. But as a traveler there, you probably want to go see the pyramids or go see other things. You want to do things when other people are not doing things. You use your time, use your money, use your relationships differently. If you're Canadian today, I'm not saying you want to despise that. Paul used his Roman citizenship to his advantage. Whatever your citizenship is, it can be used to your advantage as well. We have this great cloud of witnesses telling us something wonderful is coming. And the therefore, if we go back to Hebrews 11, the writer tells us that Hebrews 11, 16, after giving this long list of these super faithful heroes, verse 16 says, but as it is, they desire a better country. In some cases, like Abram, they move for a different country. But in a very spiritual sense, those super faithful heroes that are listed in Hebrews, all of them are desiring something more, a country, a space that's better. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Do you want to be in his kingdom? We have to see ourselves as not in this world. As a traveler in many countries, as somebody abiding in many countries, you probably have to learn a different language. But you probably never will speak like the natives. You can probably guess the spiritual implication of that. We don't take the Lord's name in vain like we see on TV. We don't say some things that are very common today in our world. When I was in Mexico, I learned a lot of my Spanish on the street with friends. That was dangerous. I'd go to church and open my mouth, and a church said, oh, hermano Tim, no debes decir sí, no. It would scare some people. In Mexico, in Spanish, there's lots of bad words, and a lot of people like to use them a lot. I accidentally picked up a few, but in church, you know. Anyway, my Spanish was never enough that I would be thought of as a native, and that's probably a good thing. In Canada, you probably what people know you and they hear you talk, maybe they'll understand, this person talks or acts differently than other people. I think it's the dog's last day in church, is it? He wants to roam. If we are living here in this comfortable country, and Canada's a pretty comfortable country, right? Not too many hurricanes or earthquakes or, well, we got some heat spells going on lately, but we got some, we got a fairly comfortable place to live. But as a traveler, as somebody who sees this not as your permanent home, ask yourself, how much time and money and effort do we spend making ourselves more comfortable? Are we spending all that time being more comfortable or getting ourselves more comfortable? How much do we spend for that comfortable lazy boy chair or whatever? You know, we as Canadians, we spend a lot of time and money and effort making ourselves comfortable. And think about one of the last sentences Jesus said. He's in the garden. He's preparing his disciples for something that's going to come early in the morning, in the wee hours. And he says to his disciples, stay here, watch, and pray. Stay here, watch, and pray. He didn't say get comfortable. But what happened? We can tell they fell asleep. And how did they fall asleep? Well, got to stay here. Okay, I'm going to stay here. I'm in the garden. What am I going to do? Oh, here's a tree. I'll lean against the tree. No, maybe I'll just sit down and lean against the tree. I'll make myself comfortable. Making yourself comfortable. Instead of praying, if Peter had been making himself pray and focusing on the temptation that was coming, maybe Peter would have been prepared for what was coming a few hours later. But he made himself comfortable. He sat down, dozed off. And, well, I'll let you apply that. Again, we enjoy meeting other Canadians as we travel. Maybe if you're an American or you're from Taiwan or someplace else, you enjoy meeting other people of your own country because you can connect. Philip is here from Mexico. It's I admire him. First time he came here, he came with a friend, and now he's here alone every Sunday. His other Mexican friend, Gustavo? Yeah, he's not here anymore, but Philip still is here. He comes. Philip, it's pretty brave because when you're traveling, you want to hang out with people who understand you. So maybe we can get to know him more. I think that's almost all I have. But which way is your home? Yeah, let's remember that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open gate, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.